Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we are here with Delegate Corey McCrae, who's a Maryland State Democrat representing the 45th District in Baltimore City. Good to have you back in the studio, Corey.
Mark, always a pleasure to be here.
We are joined by Senator Justin Reddy. Senator Reddy is a state senator from Carroll County representing the 5th District. And Senator Reddy, great to have you with us as well.
Nice to be here.
And you all can join us here at 410-319-8888. You can also write us at talk@steinershow.org by email. You can chat me at Mark Steiner, tweet me at Mark Steiner, or jump onto our Facebook pages. But call if you can, 410-319-8888. We start out debating in our program today a bill introduced by Delegate McCrae and others that would grant the right to vote to people coming out of prison as soon as they walk out of the jail doors, not waiting until their sentence is done or waiting until parole or probation is finished for them. Mm-hmm. And it's caused quite a controversy. So let's lay this out. And very quickly, if you would, Delegate, can lay it out so the senator can respond.
Well, House Bill 980 gives ex-felons, returning citizens, the right to vote after they are released from prison. In 2007, it was a law passed that said that they got their right to vote after parole or probation. It's the right thing to do. These individuals, these neighbors, these family, these friends, they face challenges with housing. They face challenges with transportation. They face challenges with jobs, finding employment. And it's not right for myself, Mark, and Senator Reedy to stand on one side of the street and then leave them behind on the other.
Senator?
Well, you're absolutely right that folks coming out of prison do face challenges with housing, jobs, and I think that's something that we do need to work on, and we are working on in the General Assembly, trying to be sure we can reduce recidivism and give people an opportunity to restore their lives. At the same time, one group, as far as me, Delegate McCrae and Mark standing on one side of the street, we also have victims of crimes that are standing on the side of the street, and they've been told folks are going to be serving their entire sentence. And, you know, I believe that if you're punished for a crime that you committed, that you've been convicted by a jury of your peers, that serving your entire sentence before you're able to vote is not an unreasonable ask. It's not saying somebody can't go get a job. It's not saying somebody can't do a number of things. I mean, whether you vote or not is really not indicative of, you know, it's really not going to keep you from doing any of the things that Delegate McCrae just mentioned. I think there's a fundamental principle at stake. A lot of people don't think folks that went to jail and convicted of a crime should ever be able to vote. We allow that in this state, and, you know, we've had a policy discussion on that many years ago. But, you know, I think it's not unreasonable to say finish your sentence before you're able to participate in the political process.
Mark, I would say that that's an old way of thinking. I think that one of the things is that these people didn't commit any type of election fraud. They didn't commit any. They didn't steal voting machines. Why are they being impeded from having the right to vote? They still pay taxes when they come out. They still pay county. They still pay state. They still pay federal government taxes. That didn't just shut down. As soon as they get out, they have responsibilities to meet. And to say that transportation, housing, and jobs, employment isn't affected by the legislature, the county government, or federal government, they're the ones that make the laws. So if you if your local representative know that you cannot vote, you're not sitting at the table, Mark.
So, Senator, go ahead. I have some questions. I want to encourage our folks to join us here with your ideas at 410-319-8888. This is a huge debate. I think it's an important one to have. Should people who come out of prison immediately regain their right to vote? Or should they wait until they have finished their entire sentences on parole or probation? What are your thoughts? 410-319-8888. What are your own experiences, whether as somebody who's faced crime or somebody who has done time and come back or had family members involved or thinking about where the political process is? What are your ideas? 410-319-8888. Go ahead, Senator.
Let me ask Delegate McCrae, because I'm studying the bill. Is there an exemption in the bill if you went to jail for stealing voting machines?
There is not, no. But
okay.
Everybody shouldn't be penalized. Everybody shouldn't be penalized. What does the right to vote have to do with you maybe stealing a turkey from the supermarket? What does the right to vote have to do with that?
Well, the turkey, stealing a turkey from the grocery store argument is certainly one that engenders sympathy, and I think that's a great way to phrase it. But what about if you've committed first-degree rape and you're out on parole? Do you think somebody, you say the right to vote doesn't have anything to do with it, but what we are saying is you violated a fundamental tenet of society in many cases. And I you know, when you say steal a turkey from the grocery store, we obviously understand there are people who resort to crime because they're desperate, and that is certainly a fair policy discussion to have. But again, voting is not going to fill your stomach. So, I just think there's a fundamental principle here that when you have violated the code of conduct in our society, laid down from the beginning of time in some cases, not all cases, but certainly murder and theft, we remove you from the ability to participate in society for a certain period of time. And part of that is being able to cast a vote to pick who's going to be making the laws that govern the very thing you may have done. So I think it's unfair to say that you wait until you're off parole or off probation. I don't think it's unfair, and I suspect there's a lot of folks that would agree with that. I don't think it's unfair to say you've got to wait till you can participate in a civic function like voting.
And Mark, just to the senator's comments, I would say that after prison, they're not voting while they're in prison. They're voting after their prison. And in reference to just being into society, they have to find a job. They have to find housing. They have to find transportation. They have to immediately start paying taxes. That's why 13 other states have gave ex-offenders the right to vote right after the release of prison. That's why D.C. gave ex-offenders the right to vote right after prison. That's why in environmental matters, EHC, Environment Health, on the Senate side, Gail Bates, Senator Bates, Senator Saling, who are also Republicans, Democrats, they all agree that ex-offenders should have the right to vote after being released from prison.
So,
to me, it's not really a partisan issue. It's really more about what you're saying to the public and to those who have suffered from criminal activity. And it's really what you're saying about truth in sentencing. I mean, I'm not someone who opposes parole, probation. I'm not someone who opposes, look, you can go to the governor. The governor can give you a pardon or commute your sentence. And now that's certainly not going to happen in just regular run-of-the-mill cases. I recognize that. But again, I mean, going back to this, I mean, this bill as written, Julius Henson could vote, right? I mean, you know, he did it. Someone like Julius Henson. I don't think the bill keeps somebody who conspired to, you know, do something fraudulent with voting or try to suppress voters, he could vote. So, I mean, I think, you know, if you're making the argument that, you know, clearly we have a difference of opinion. I certainly respect Delegate McCray and where he's coming from in the sense of representing, you know, his thought process. But I really feel strongly, and a lot of folks I know agree with me, that we really should finish your sentence before,
He threw a curveball, Mark, in reference to Mention and Julius Henson. The first thing is that Julius didn't commit a felony. So Julius never got his right to vote taken away. He couldn't run for office, but he never got his right to vote taken away. So analysis.
I didn't realize that.
And he ran for office.
You got me on that one. The bill doesn't forbid. I mean, the bill, though, you know, going back to it, if you did commit a felony dealing with voting issues, I mean, it doesn't really keep you from voting once you get out of parole, probation. Obviously, that's more of an extreme example because most of these people we're talking about are not dealing with election-related crimes. But
I agree.
Let me open the phones here and see what our listeners are thinking about this particular issue at 410-319-8888. The debate is on the table. The debate is now in the House of Delegates and in the State Senate. Should people who are paroled, got out of prison before the sentences are completed, and before they finish their parole, be allowed to vote as they walk out the doors? I think Delegate McCray just said that there were 13 states and D.C. have already passed these bills.
Yep.
But what do you think? Well, a lot of people are calling in, so let's get their ideas. 410-319-8888. Teresa in Glen Burnie, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good morning,
Teresa.
Good morning.
I just always call on y'all show, mostly in the evening. But this is what I want to say, and I feel like that it is unfair and it's wrong. I feel like that when we had people that have ex-cons and been in jail, once they actually, you know, are released from prison, to me, they have served their punishment. And I don't feel like no one rights should be taken from them. They should have the right to vote. You still take taxes from them. They still have to pay rent. They still have to live in a society and do the things that regular citizens do that never, you know, went to jail. So to me, when you are punished, that's like double jeopardy. You're still going to punish them again. You're going to punish them because it was in jail. They got out now. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this. They already have a stigma. They already have, you know, and I don't care what they've done because we all can be forgiven for the things all right. that we have done in life.
Teresa, thank you so much for calling in and listening to WEA and the Mark Steiner Show this morning. Senator, you want to respond?
Well, sure. I mean, Teresa, I'm glad Teresa called in. I think the discussion is great. Debate is great. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on and sort of talk about feeling that I have and maybe a lot of folks that I've talked to have. You know, Teresa mentioned some interesting points, but one of the things she talked about was double jeopardy. And again, I just can't emphasize this enough. It's not double jeopardy. You're finishing your sentence. In Maryland, when you finish your sentence, you can vote. To me, that's pretty simple. All the arguments about, you know, whether or not somebody pays taxes or not. I mean, a lot of folks who get out of prison may not be going to where they're eligible to pay income tax. Now, certainly they're paying taxes like a sales tax and things like that. But again, bottom line is we do punish people for committing a crime. And I think once the punishment's concluded in Maryland, you can go vote. But I think that parole is a key part of finishing your sentence. It's not double jeopardy to say finish your sentence first, in my opinion.
I think that Ms. Teresa hit some great points. These are our family members. These are our friends. These are our neighbors. When you talk about the 21213 zip code and the challenges that we have with housing, with transportation, with jobs, their voices fall on deaf ears. Their voices fall on the politicians or the people that's elected, knowing that they're not sitting at the table. Their voices fall on those that's just trying to make sure that opportunities can also come to them. It's no problem with that. These are our family, friends, and neighbors.
Let me make one more point, Mark. I know you want to take calls. Something Corey just said, nobody's voice for me as an elected official falls on deaf ears. I've had conversations with folks who've been out of prison. In fact, I have a very good friend who was in prison for many years and then got out and really turned his life around and is doing things to help, you know, prisoners and help the community. You know, so people's voice, you may say it falls on deaf ears. Just because somebody votes or not doesn't mean that if they're in my district, I don't listen to them. I listen to anybody that comes to talk to me. I would hope elected officials of all stripes would do that. That's just a little bit of a clarification point. You're talking about these being our friends and neighbors, and they may be, and I have friends that have been to jail, but I also have a lot of friends who have had things done to them, and folks that committed the crime are serving time. And, you know, they need to finish their time before they vote.
Let me open the list very quickly. Then I'm going to go to the phone.
And when I talk about deaf ears, I mean that laws that are made that disproportionately affect other different ethnicities or one set of group and things like that. So that's what I mean by deaf ears. If you're not helping to elect that person or those persons to that office, a lot of the different laws that's put in place are not pushed or different things of that such, Senator Reedy.
Let me go to the phones here. I think this is... There's some delegates calling. I'm not so sure who they are yet, but is this Delegate Ebersons? Is that the name? Delegate?
It's Eric Ebersol calling in. I was on your show about a week ago or two about testing and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I do remember you being on the show. Yeah, it said Ebersol. Go ahead, Delegate. Yes.
Yeah, I'm hi, Corey and Justin. How are you guys doing?
Listen, all right. What's up, brother?
To me, it's pretty that people serve their punishments for crime and should move on. And parole in particular is set up to try to grow society. And so if they want to feel fully reintegrated, it seems to me that Corey's on the mark here with this bill. And I don't, you know, I'm just really offering an opinion here. I don't know if they want to comment on that or not.
Delegate, thank you so much. Congratulations to the program. So before we go back to the phones here, I mean, let me get another caller in here, then they'll come right back. 410-319-8888. Mary in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Thank you for having me on the show. I just wanted to support the fact of giving prisoners rights to vote back when they leave jail. And I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe states actually never take a felon's right to vote away, even when they are incarcerated. I believe it's Maine, and I want to say New Hampshire, but I could be wrong. And if you look at the populations of those states, they're more white or Caucasian. I do believe that there's some racial inequality at the heart of this, because when you look at our prison population, who are we most incarcerating, and who is it, whose community is it most affecting to take somebody's right to vote away? So I do agree with giving back prisoners their right to vote when they choose to be in incarceration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. And just to give our delegate and senator here a chance to have some final thoughts. But this, to be clear, the voting rights you're talking about are restored automatically upon release from prison in, we said District of Columbia, in Hawaii, Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and Utah are the states that, I was just looking it up on the web, are the states that that do this same law. Go ahead. You're saying delegate, then we'll go back to the senator.
I just want to say you had wide listenership. I see my colleague Eric Ebersole calling, and Eric is absolutely
correct. We've been into Montgomery County. We're in Prince George's County. We're everywhere.
Yep. But one of the things is that this has wide support in the House of Delegates, and it's already passed out of committee in the Senate. 51 co-sponsors. A third of the House of Delegates understand that this is the right thing
so
to do.
Let me ask you both this question very quickly before we go back to get another caller in. Well, if this bill, let's say for argument's sake, the bill passed, what would that mean? How would it change the political dynamic of this state? And what do you think it would mean if it did pass? Let me start
Mark,
first with the senator.
Go ahead with that one.
Go to the senator, and then we'll go to the delegate.
Yeah. I'm not sure it would have a great impact on the number of votes. I mean, I think it's really not, for me, it's more of a principle of why I wanted to talk with you about the issue. I'm sure that it would be, you know, several thousand probably that could vote quicker. Or more quickly than they can now. I'm not sure that would be something where it's going to dramatically alter the landscape. But I could be wrong. I just don't see that. Maybe Delegate McCray feels differently. I think it's more of a question of what. Clearly, in our discussion, we've got just a fundamental, I think, disagreement whether or not it's the right move, whether or not it makes sense, whether or not it's the appropriate thing to do. But I think I'm not sure it would have a huge political impact.
Delegate?
I think that what it does is it creates activism. It creates engagement among the population that feel like they're left behind. In communities that I represent with one in two families living in poverty, with communities that I represent that have food deserts with no supermarket, no small restaurants and things of that such, this gives other people within those families, those friends, those neighbors, the ability to activate, to get energized, to move, to try to make our communities the right place, because then they will have a seat at the table.
Let me go back to the phones, get some thoughts in here before we have to take a break at 410-319-8888. Is both Stacy on the other two different people? Stacy, you're on the air. They both say Stacy on my screen.
Yes.
Hi, Stacy.
I'm here. Hi, great morning to everyone.
Morning. Good morning.
Listen, I have a question and I have a comment.
Okay.
So the question first would be for the senator and the delegate, actually, what would be the purpose at this point? I mean, I'm going to say it's probably more for the senator. After all this time, what would be the purpose of someone continuing to serve out a punishment or a penalty after being released from prison? And then the comment would be going along with Ms. Teresa, who was made the comment. I believe that having the prisoners, people that are coming being released back home, I believe that it is them feeling like, hey, I'm not actively participating in society, not being able to vote, not being able to find jobs, not being able to do normal things that other people do. And that may also be contributing to, them going back to prison. So, I mean, I'm trying to figure out what is the purpose at this point of continued penalties and punishment after being released from prison.
Senator.
Well, I think, number one, you've hit on a couple things. One of the things that we need to be focusing on is how we can make sure that folks that leave prison can be productive members of society, making sure that they have the kind of training that they need and the opportunities, and that we have a restorative justice system that really looks at how, when people leave, they can be restored to the community appropriately. But, again, returning the right to vote, to me, it's allowing you to you're participating in the community. I really feel very strongly that when we have a law that says you're not going to vote until you serve your sentence, parole and probation is a very important part of that sentence. It's showing it's probation. And you're on probation. It's showing that you're going to do the right thing. You're going to take the right steps. And then you'd be fully restored into the community from a legal sense after probation. I know there's a lot of concern about what happens with people, particularly low-level convictions, that now want to get, maybe they can get an entry-level job, but when they want to move up, that conviction is keeping them there. And I think we're having a very robust debate, in the, at least certainly in the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee we are, which is the committee I serve on how we do that while protecting people that are employers, protecting victims, but also allowing people to be able to move up. But to me, the voting issue, there are still many, many states that do not allow felons to vote at all. And so I think you could look at it from that perspective as well. And so we're a state that does allow felons to vote, but I don't believe it's the right move. I think you should serve your sentence. I think particularly if you're talking about somebody, and maybe there's some room to maneuver in the bill, but I think particularly when you're talking about folks who have been convicted of pretty violent crimes or perhaps some sort of election-related issues, I'm not sure we want them participating in the political process until they've finished their time and shown that they're ready to be a part of this. Fully apart again. That's my take on that.
And a final thought, Tully, we're going to get one more call in here, but then we have to go to our next segment.
I think that the senator said some good points in reference to, he said that some states don't allow felons to vote at all. I think that Maryland has the ability to lead, or we can still be followers. And I think that we should take the opportunity to lead. I ask that people do support House Bill 980. It goes in front of House Ways and Means today on March 11th, Wednesday. And I hope that we have a lot of support for it. So thank you for the opportunity to share and dialogue with it, Mark.
Just so people know, just some of those states, the states that really make it very difficult for anybody coming out of prison to vote, period, are Alabama, Delaware, Mississippi, Nevada, Tennessee, Wyoming, and Florida, Iowa, Kentucky, and Virginia only allow people to vote if they have a petition to the governor and it's approved. So that's how they vary across this country. So I want to thank both of our guests here for being here, Delegate Corey McRae, who's Maryland State.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you, Senator Justin Reddy from Carroll County, representing the 5th District, and Delegate Corey McRae representing the 45th District in the House of Delegates, 45th District, excuse me, in the House of Delegates from Baltimore.
Thanks
thank
again,
you both
Mark.
For being here.
Yes, sir.
We're going to take a very brief break and come right back and debate another bill. This one has to do with taking parole out of the hands of the governor and putting it into the hands of the parole board. On our way to break here, we're hearing Wild Leaves, performed by Patti Smith and Silver Mount Zion Memorial Orchestra. The song is about photographer Robert Mapplethorpe, who passed away this day in 1989. We'll be right back.